for his prayer, and in his prayer, reminding me, at least, of a story from a friend of mine in Nashville who was reminded that each week he gets to preach to a bunch of ministers in his church. Each week he gets to put on a pastor's conference, so to speak, because we are all a part of the priesthood of believers, right? And each week he gets to preach a pastor's conference. And I also want to thank Doug for his reminder this morning in Luke, in John 17, of the prayer of Jesus as we commune together. This morning we're going to be spending the majority of our time in Luke chapter 10, looking at verses 1 through 16. So if you want to turn your phone on, your tablet, open your Bibles up, go old school to Luke chapter 10, that would be just fine. But I want these three questions to wrap around our mind this entire time that we spend together. Who are my people? Where are my places? And what is my purpose? Who are my people? Where are my places? And what is my purpose? I am often reminded of the glory and grace of God in this one profound truth. God delights in using ordinary people to deliver extraordinary qualities of who He is. God delights in using ordinary people to deliver extraordinary qualities of who He is. For those of you who have had the opportunity to visit Washington, D.C., and to spend time in that city walking around looking at all the monuments and the museums, one quick thing I want to mention about that, and this is something I did not know until this past Friday at the Chris Tomlin Wren Collective concert, is sometime in 2017 there is going to be what's called the Bible Museum, which is 8-story tall building, right? Nothing filled with Bible stuff. Bible stories, historical artifacts, all of that stuff, right in the heart of Washington, D.C., sometime in 2017. So keep that in mind. If you've been waiting for a reason to take a trip to the nation's capital, wait a little bit longer and wait till 2017 and go take advantage of that. The images that they shown us were brilliant and were amazing. This is going to be a powerful, powerful museum. But anyways, you guys know that have been to Washington, D.C., lots of monuments, lots of museums. You also know they're free. You can go and walk around because taxpayer dollars pay for that to happen. But one thing that I noticed and that I discovered that was extremely fascinating to me, and it's found in the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History. And what they have in there is the Hope Diamond. And there should be an image of it on the screen. Yes, here is the Hope Diamond. 45.52 carats or whatever, 46 carats, worth $250 million. Now, what I have found so interesting about the Hope Diamond isn't the fact that it's blue and it's massive and it looks like the ring I gave Carrie when I proposed to her. What I find so fascinating about this diamond is how it made its way from New York City to Washington, D.C. It was owned by a guy by the name of Harry Winston, and his mugshot should be our next slide. There he is. There's old Harry Winston. It was owned by Harry Winston, and the means by which he got the Hope Diamond from New York City to Washington, D.C. was this. He took a brown paper bag. He put the Hope Diamond in the brown paper bag. He wrapped it up. He slapped a $2.50 stamp on it, and he sent it via U.S. Postal Service. That is how a 46-carat, $250 million diamond got delivered to the Smithsonian. Let that sink in for just a moment. The story that they'll tell you at the Smithsonian is this. Isn't it insane that this guy used such an ordinary carrier to deliver such an extraordinary treasure? U.S. Postal Service. And it fits so well with our story this morning. The Lord throughout human history has delighted in using the ordinary to deliver the extraordinary. I think of stories like Moses. Lord, I can't talk. You're sending me to Pharaoh. I think of stories like Ruth. She knew where she came from. She knew her background. And yet God used her anyways. I think of stories like Esther. Simple Jewish girl in a land not her own. Yet God used her to save His people. I think of stories like David. God, I'm just a shepherd. I'm too young to go. Think of stories like Jeremiah. For just a few moments this morning, hear these words out of Jeremiah chapter 1. And in the next year, when the challenge is given, and when you guys take the challenge to read the entire Bible, flip back when your time comes for Jeremiah and remember this. Jeremiah 1, beginning in verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now listen to Jeremiah's response. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. I think of stories like Amos, which I am a huge fan of the prophets, especially Amos. Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 16. We won't take the time to read that entire section, but I want you to hear this. In verse 14, Amos answered Amaziah, who was basically saying, We have no ears for you here in Israel. Take you and your message and go back to Judah. The king has no ears for you. Exile? Ain't nobody going to come in and exile us. Take you and your message and go back to Judah. And here's how Amos answered. I was neither a prophet nor the disciple of a prophet, but I was a shepherd. And I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, Go. Prophesy to my people Israel. Now then, hear the word of the Lord. And then the fun begins with Amos. And this morning, as we look at Luke 10, 1 through 16, I want us to see the same things. I don't want us to treat this story and these other stories as, well, that happened then, it happened back then, it doesn't happen now. I want us to see this story alive and fresh and real. What we see early on in the Gospels is Jesus gathering, calling the disciples into Him, and what we'll see in this story in Luke chapter 10 is no longer Jesus gathering, Jesus bringing the disciples in, teaching them, training them, giving them the tools with which they need. But He is now about to send them out. Jesus is no longer gathering, but sending. And the gospel always radically draws us into the heart of God and then sends us radically out for the good of the world. The gospel always radically draws us into the heart of God and then sends us out for the good of the world. So as you're in Luke chapter 10, three questions I want you to keep in mind. Who are my people? Where are my places? What is my purpose? Who are my people? Where are my places? And what is my purpose? If you write in your Bibles or if you can take notes on your phone, just simply write who, what, where above this section. Who are my people? Where are my places? And what is my purpose? Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go." It should be echoes of Amos. It should be echoes of Jeremiah. It should be echoes of the entire story of Israel. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, "Peace to this house." If the head of the house loves peace, your peace will rest on that house. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for workers deserve their wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, "Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you." Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. And we're going to skip 12, 13, 14, 15, which is basically sentences of towns of woe, you should not have done what you did, type of questions. In verse 16, he finishes this up before they are sent. And he says, "Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me." Look back with me at verse 1. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go." The picture that we see all throughout scriptures, beginning in the beginning, is that God is a communal God. And our faith system is deeply rooted in that God exists as Father, Son, and Spirit. Three and one, and one and three. It is this beautiful, perfect depiction of community. And let's be honest, anyone who says that they 100% get it, that they got that, that's something that they don't have to wrestle with, they're fooling themselves. And they're joking themselves. And they're also fooling you if they tell you, "Yeah, I got it. That's easy." It is this divine mystery that is beautiful. And it's something that our faith is deeply rooted in. And in the beginning, what I want us to see is God wasn't lonely when he created the earth and everything in it. God wasn't looking for friends. God wasn't bored on a Saturday and said, "You know what, Ohio State's winning, I'm going to try this." Even though you guys haven't won enough to really watch a game and move on. So anyways, God wasn't bored. So he decided to create the world and everything in it. God did not create us looking for community. He created us to share in the community that he has perfectly enjoyed since before the foundations of the world. Hear that again. God did not create us looking for community. He created us to share in the community that he already perfectly enjoyed since before the foundations of the world. We see this in Genesis 1. God creates, he establishes, he fine-tunes, and then he creates human beings in our own image. Male and female, he creates them. And then he gives his creation, the human beings made in his image, the responsibility and the joy to carry on in community of sharing and creating. If it's been a while since you've read Genesis 1, go back and see how it flows. After he creates them, he tells them to do what? First off, go and do what? Make more. We like the word be fruitful. But go and create. Go and share. Go and be a part of what I have created for you in the joy of community. So it should not surprise us that when Jesus sends them out, he sends them out as two by two. He sends them out on a communal mission. Jesus sends them out not on their own, but with other people. And the decision to follow Jesus is always an individual choice. No one else can make that decision for you. Your parents, your friends, your spouse can't make it for you. You have to make that decision on your own. You have to decide, will you follow Jesus? It's an individual choice that always leads on a communal journey. Making a decision to follow Jesus is always an individual choice, but that individual choice leads you on and into a communal journey. There are no John Waynes, there are no Batmans, there are no I can do this on my own and by my own, and I don't need help from anybody else in the kingdom of God. That does not exist. We cannot do this on our own. When Jesus sends out the apostles, he will always send them out in pairs. Think back at the end of the gospel story, before the Last Supper, before Jesus is betrayed, before he goes to the cross, before the mock trial. He takes two disciples and he sends them out in a pair to go and get a donkey. He doesn't send one. One could have done it on his own, but he doesn't do that. He sends them out in a pair, because even in the kingdom of God, going and getting a donkey is a two-man ordeal. So when I hear Christians say that they don't need church, they don't need community, my heart breaks, because they're failing to see that community is a life vein for what it means and what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. We cannot do this on our own. Jesus sends them out two by two. He sends them with a helper. Now, bonfire season is coming to a close. Many of you know how much I enjoy and love bonfires. And what I've noticed about wood fires is if you keep the wood together, the wood is going to continue to burn, right? It's going to continue to stay going. It's going to continue to stay hot. But what happens when you want to put the fire out, besides just letting it go out on its own? You do what? You separate the wood from each other, right? They're no longer connected. So when it's time for the fire to go out, you separate the wood. They're no longer connected. So the fire goes out. Or think about snow. Or maybe some of you don't want to think about snow because it's coming, whether we like it or not. A single snowflake all by itself does absolutely, positively nothing. But I will say this, and those of you who are from the South or have spent any time in the South know this. The threat of snow a week ahead of time. Grocery stores are running out of bread and they're running out of milk. There is a natural catastrophe caused a week with the threat of snow. But one little snowflake does absolutely nothing by itself, but you put a bunch of them together and it can do amazing things. It's this amazing, strong force. One snowflake by itself will melt on its own, but a bunch of them together is this amazing, strong force. And isn't this the truth when it comes to our walk with Jesus? If we're trying to do this on our own, we might as well start beating down these walls with our fists, thinking we're going to knock them down. It's not going to happen. Our life burns hotter in the kingdom of God when it is connected to others. It is the reason we spend so much time and energy and effort stressing our classes. Doug, nice one-liner in the communion talk about your class that's going to take on later on today. That's good, because we spend so much time and effort and energy making our classes good, making our life groups good, because we know we need each other. We need this stuff. We can't do this on our own. Joel Osteen might be good on TV, but he's not going to get you through the week. It's not going to happen. We need each other. And we need each other for this reason right here. We gather in order to be sent out. We gather in order to be sent out. I saw this statistic last week. From 25 to 65, about 40 years. Now, this number isn't meant to depress you. It's meant to liberate you and set you free. You will spend 2,266 hours in worship on a Sunday morning gathering assembly. 2,266 hours you will spend in worship from the age of 25 to 65, 40 years. Guess how many hours you're going to spend at work? Somewhere around 96,000. And some of you, that might be not even near close. It might be 296,000 or whatever the case may be. But the amount of time that we spend together on an average week, we spend an hour and a half with each other. Maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending upon what other stuff you have going on. Compare that to where you spend the rest of your time. It doesn't even come close in comparison. We gather in order to be sent out. So before Jesus gives them a purpose, before he gives them a place, he gives them their people. And so often an important question we must ask ourselves is not what are we going to do, but who are we going to do that with? Verses 2 through 6. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If the head of the house loves peace, your peace will rest on that house. If not, it will return to you. Jesus is a sending God. All other world religions teach in some way that if you want to make it to the afterlife, if you want to make it to heaven, if you want to appease the gods, you have to keep these rules, jump through these hoops, climb this ladder of morality. And then Jesus Christ burst on the scene and says it's no longer about you and I ascending our way to God. It is about a God who has descended his way to us. Jesus in his very nature is a God who is sent to us. And after he gathers them, after they see and experience the goodness of who God really is, then the time comes for them to be sent. And his directions to the sent ones are simply this: trust. Trust that I have got your back. Trust that what I am calling and sending you to do, you can in fact do, because it is not you that is doing it, it is me that is doing it through you. We are not on this mission alone. So church becomes less of a place we go to, but becomes a place, becomes primarily a place we are sent from. Verses 8 through 9, what we're hurrying through this, my time is coming to an end. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In verse 10, but when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Here are your people, here are your places, here is your purpose. And one ongoing theme throughout the scriptures, and it continues to this day, is God is about putting back together that which is broken and fractured by sin. That is what God is about, and he sends us out to go and do the same thing. Join the mission, join the journey. When Jesus begins his ministry, after the announcement that the kingdom of God has come near, he begins healing and restoring, and now he sends 72 others out to go and do the same thing. thing, and what I want you to see and what I want you to notice, is Jesus would demonstrate the kingdom of God in power, and then the kingdom of God in word. He would demonstrate the kingdom of God in power, and then proclaim the kingdom of God in word. One did not take place without the other, and one did not trump the other. Jesus sends them out the same way. Heal the sick. Well, first eat, then heal the sick, then proclaim how much they are loved by God. Thanks, Dan. What I want to draw us to a close on today is this. When a man and woman of God come into the neighborhood, things begin to change. And what I don't want to ignore is the elephant in the room, and that this is not easy. Jesus says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. That doesn't sound very, that's not Disney. You're not going to see this in Disney. It's not going to happen. Jesus says, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. So when we get rejected, guess what? We're in good company. Because Jesus was rejected when Jesus was Jesus. People rejected Jesus when Jesus was Jesus. And he finishes his charge to them before they go that there will be some who will reject the message the disciples are proclaiming. But be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. Their job wasn't to convert or close the deal. That's God's job, and he's pretty good at it. Their job was to go and proclaim. So the three questions I want us to wrestle with throughout this week and as our time comes to an end. Who are your people? Where are your places? And what is your purpose? For who are your people? There are two types of people. There are the people that you see on a weekly basis, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your job, whether it's at the coffee shop, whether it's at the grocery store. So this week, begin to open up your eyes and pay attention to the people God is putting in your life, because they're not there by accident. They're not there by happenstance. They are there because God has placed them there for a reason, and we are on mission with Jesus. And something powerful begins to happen when our eyes are open and we start noticing the people that are around us. And the other part of this is, what type of people are my people? I communicate this to our teenagers. I communicate this to our parents. And it's this profound truth, if we really let it sink in. If you show me your crowd, I will show you your future. If you show me your crowd, I'll show you your future. Parents, do not have a blind eye to the types of people our teenagers are hanging around with. Do not turn a blind eye to them. Pay attention to their crowd, because their crowd will eventually determine their future. My past is a given proof of it. Pay attention, parents. Teens, pay attention to your crowd. Pay attention to your crowd. Second question is this, where are my places? I said this, we spend 2,200 hours in a 40-year span in worship. We spend 96,000 hours at work. Where are your places? And what is your purpose? Are we simply existing in these places God has placed you? Or are you advancing the kingdom of God in those places? Are you just showing up, or are you advancing the kingdom of God? Jared, you and your team can come on up, please. As I began to wrestle with some of these questions myself, to be honest with you, I felt kind of really bad, because I started looking at my people and my places and my purpose. And I was preaching to myself this week, not just preaching to you guys. And I finally kind of came up with a solution to this. Instead of being down and depressed about where I was at, I instead chose to praise God that he had revealed to me kind of where I'm at. And simply this, he's not done with me yet. He's not done with us yet. So if you begin to analyze or examine, where are my places, who are my people, and what is my purpose, and you start to feel bad, praise God that He's revealed that to you. And I don't want us to look at these stories that we've looked at from Luke 10 or from Jeremiah or from Amos and say, wow, isn't it amazing what God did then? Because what can so often happen is we wind up celebrating the God who was instead of walking with the God who is. And that is what we are on mission for. God has given us a treasure wrapped in a brown paper sack. He has given us a treasure wrapped in a brown paper sack. And what we do with it is our decision, but we don't do it alone. We do not do this alone. This is the call. This is the mission. Go. Stand with me. We're going to do one more spiritual exercise. It's called a spiritual communal exercise. And we're going to do this together. And then Jared and his team will lead us out in a song, and then we'll be dismissed to all of our classes. I want you, if you're comfortable with this, to put your hand on a shoulder next to a neighbor. If you don't have a shoulder to put on, put one on yourself. If you're being weird, stop it. This is a spiritual thing. This is good. And I want us to say this together as a charge to ourselves as we're sent out. And they're on the next screen. We are sent by God to... Nice, let's do that again. Let's say it like we mean it. We are sent by God to tell the world and to show the world that they are loved by God. We are sent by God to tell the world and to show the world that they are loved by God. Let's worship together.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen, church. Let me send you out with this final blessing. May our eyes be opened to the people and the places and the purpose that God has given us. And with courage and with the power of the Holy Spirit and with each other, may we be sent out to bring glory and honor to His name. Amen. You are dismissed.